Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Lori. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Lord's house this day, third Sunday of Advent. It is the Joy Sunday. It is the Rose Keller candle. So, as we prepare to light the candle, as Joyce lights for us the three, two blue, one rose, or pink. Okay, we sing the first three verses. Light one candle, page two. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord of our lives, come to us as you have promised, through the darkness of this world of sin, a brokenness, a sadness, to bring a light that gives encouragement to the human spirit and to our hearts. Be with us with the promise of a Messiah. Be with us with the promise of forgiveness. Be with us with your grace, through word and sacrament. For the sake of our Lord Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. If you'll please rise for the confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God. He's the Lord of Israel, who comes to set us free. He's the mighty Savior, who comes to show mercy. He is the dawn from on high, who guides us into peace. Amen. So let us come before God in our confession. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins. Remember us for your steadfast love. Show us your ways, teach us your paths, and lead us in justice and truth for the sake of your goodness in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Children of God, come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Remember the gift of baptism. Your sin is washed away in the name of Jesus. You belong to Christ. You're anointed to serve. Stand up and raise your heads. The reign of God is near. Amen. And the greeting, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Entrance hymn, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers. We sing. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join in prayer together, please. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'll please be seated. Before the actual reading of the text, I do want to say, for those who haven't heard my introduction, of our organist, Lori Carrier. She is a local one right now. She lives in Port Huron with her husband. He's a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor in the Detroit area, formerly at Trinity Lutheran here in town, where she was also the organist for several years. She has been an organist for about, and pianist, for about 50 plus years. We won't get into specifics, okay, Lori? made the acquaintance with Lori 2 years ago when she asked to use the facility here in December for her students of piano, of which three were from Our Savior, two currently will be here. Now today is going to be a long day for her. She's playing the two services, then at 3 o'clock you're invited to be back for the recital for the piano students here at Our Savior. So on the radio, it's an open invitation. Please come if you like to hear young people excel in the gift of music. Okay.
Yep.
The first reading for the third Sunday of Advent is from the third chapter of Zechariah, verses 14 through 20. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day, it shall be said to Israel, do not fear, O Zion, do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame, gather the outcasts, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home. At the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Bill. And our second reading by Kay Price.
Despite being in prison, Paul is remarkably upbeat as he writes this letter. Here he urges his friends in Philippi to trust God with all their worries and concerns, with the hope they will experience God's joy and peace. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Dave. If you're able to stand, we'll rise and speak together the gospel acclamation.
Hallelujah. I am sending my messenger before you, who will prepare your way before you. Hallelujah. The gospel lesson for this day is from Luke's gospel, the new gospel for the next 12 months. Third chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now John said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath that is to come. Bear fruits that are worthy of repentance, and don't begin to say to yourselves, oh, we're Abraham's descendants. We are his ancestors. And I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down. It's thrown into the fire. So the crowds asked John, what then shall we do? In reply, John said to them, whoever has two coats must share with one who has none. Whoever has food must do so likewise. Even tax collectors came up to be baptized, and they asked John, teacher, what shall we do? John said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed to you. Soldiers also asked John, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation. be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah. John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He's going to clear the threshing floor and gather all the wheat into the granary. And the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, John proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. As we do with each time we gather in worship and study of God's word, we go through each of the lessons. The theme of the day, obviously, is joy, the pink, rose colored. You may wonder as you go through the lessons, I am going to have to look a little harder to find joy. First lesson, Zephaniah. In the text, and certainly the introduction, gives you an idea where this particular cutting, therefore the word we use is pericope, where this portion of scripture comes from. If you look at the whole context of Zephaniah, it's one of doom and gloom. God is coming to bring judgment upon earth, and he's going to start with his kids, the chosen descendants of Abraham, because they have not done his bidding. And then comes this glimmer of hope from which joy is established, not by anything we have done, but what God is preparing and giving to us as a gift. Not by human effort, human accomplishment, human achievement, but simply because of God's grace and God's favor upon his children. As he speaks about a day when things are going to get so much better that, you know, the forsaken of this land. In the ancient world, to be handicapped was a major deficit than it is today when you have legal rights that protect you. When we have certain things that give you entitlements that help maintain a standard of life, not necessarily poverty, because you're crippled or maimed or have birth defects. And so he speaks about in the day of the Lord, everybody who has been oppressed in this world because of injustice, because of inequality, God is going to take over and support them. They will not have oppressors over them. The lame shall be gathered. The outcast will no longer be the outcast. Their shame will turn into praise in the renown of the earth. Then God says, in the continuation of the text, page 7, God will raise and gather his people from all the ends of the earth, and he's going to bring them home. There's sometimes that word home has a pleasant meaning. You know, if you're trying to avoid your parents as a child growing up, home was to be feared because you knew you did something wrong. But if home for you is a place of warmth, acceptance, unconditional love, good food, time together, and some happy, laughing times, then it was anything you'd fear. It was something you look forward to. And God says, I'm bringing you home. I'm taking you out of diaspora. I'm taking you out of captivity. I'm bringing you back to a place your ancestors knew as their home. You never experienced it because you were living in captivity. Now you understand the goodness of God and his provisions for you as God's people by your election, by God's grace. To the second reading, Philippians. I said last week in the introduction of Paul's letters, the Philippian epistle has to be one of the best, happiest of Paul's writings. Over 80 times the word joy is used. You don't find that in any other writing of the apostle. He talks about a joy that passes all human understanding, and it'll keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The text we have today, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, for the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. This text that we have before us in the Advent season is placed there because of the coming of the Lord when this day will be complete. But it's also used on thanksgiving. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Whatever your needs are, whatever your complaints are, whatever your supplications and lamentations are, don't be timid before your God. Let your needs be expressed, thought, word, or deed, to the Almighty, because He's the one that's able to do something. Don't pretend and hide like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden behind fig leaves. Come out from behind the bushes and let your requests be made known to God. The understanding that we are not sufficient by ourselves. We are always in need, and we like to play the game, I can do it all, right? Not only can I be in charge, but I can have my way accomplished by myself. So, Lord, if I need you, I'll call on you. But before that, don't bug me. Let me run my life. And it's like, no. This is not how life is to be played out. It might be the way you and I choose, but that's not the way God chooses for us. In each day of life, make your needs known. Don't wait for the biggies. Sometimes, yes, people would, you like me to pray for you? And they'll say, well, it's not that bad. I think that's cute. Oh, really? It's not that bad? So only major things are worthy of prayers? Give me a break. God can even handle the small details of our lives. One of the things that kind of happens when we pray is we're acknowledging our deficit, our impotence, our lack of completing things that we would like to be doing ourselves. And now we become vulnerable, as God wants us to be humbled before our God. And there's an uncomfortable feeling that comes out of that. When somebody says, may I pray for you? I hope you don't get uncomfortable. But understand it's okay if people pray. It's okay to be humbled. It's okay to call upon the name of the Lord in good times and in bad. And then Paul closes this short portion of the scriptures by saying the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. It's something that I dare say the human heart wants, desires, craves out of the midst of turmoil. Broken relationships, trouble in families, troubles in work, troubles in finances, troubles in decision making. God is there to help us. That we can find the peace, find the calm in the midst of the storm, and just discover day by day God is true to God's word. If we don't call on God, we'll never know how good God is. You call upon Him, you'll know God is faithful. Think you're going to do it by yourself? You're going to complain to God? Why didn't you finish it and make it better? Because we were going on our own strength. The third lesson, dealing with the theme of joy, is one of John the Baptist. And, you know, if you and I were to call this the Joy Sunday, the Joy Candle, you would say, why don't you get a prettier text than the way John begins? If you heard the gospel text,
You can look at it on page 9 as we go through the scriptures. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Well, he obviously didn't take Dale Carnegie. How to win friends and influence people. No, but he did know how to speak truth. If you're going to try to do it on your own, you don't understand how bad you are as God sees you. You're a brood of vipers. There is a wrath that is to be coming. On your own, you are condemned. I always kind of listen to the human spirit when people talk. You know, the deceased wasn't really bad. They really lived a good life. And what is a good life? And then it's kind of like, well, they didn't beat anybody and they didn't kill anybody. So that's all God wants of us, to get through life that way? Or does God have higher expectations of the human spirit about what we should be, what we could be, and what we were meant to be? And that's not down here. That's up here. God has higher expectations than we want to accept. And as John lays it on the line, you need to bear fruits that are worthy of repentance. Repentance from the Old Testament to the New Testament is a changed heart. The Greek word metanoma is a heart that is reoriented from self, which in the United States and human condition is really narcissism, where people think only of themselves. And to get to a point where we're oriented towards God and God's interests in this world. And that's where the conflict and the rub comes. We just don't want to have it. Would rather claim genealogy is my position with God. I'm a descendant of Abraham. I'm a descendant of David. I live in the church. I do good things there. No, 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 no. God can take stones and make them inanimate and make them act as if they were descendants of Abraham, David, or of any of the figures of Israel's worship. But it takes more than just coattails and hanging on to somebody who you never met and think you got the right passage to the kingdom. John then goes on to say, look, the judgment is so close. The axe is already set to cut down Israel again. And there will be judgment, and there'll be people thrown into the fire. And then all these applicable questions, well, what do we must do? How do we change? What does this mean, John? Give us some specifics so I know what I must do. That pronoun, I. How about surrender? How about living on life and growing in the Spirit of God that teaches us gentleness, kindness, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit that are described in Galatians? How about those things that just you don't make laws about? In your behavior and life where Christ is Lord of your life, Lord of your mind, Lord of your heart, you start acting differently. When you do, probably even your best friends who know you really well, they'll say, you're a religious fanatic. You're acting different. And so I shouldn't? Doesn't living in Christ mean a different life? Not to be of the world, not in the world, but living as part of this world, but with a sense of our identity is in Jesus Christ, not the world. So as he goes on to speak about the higher nature of the Messiah, just on the tales of John, he says, look, I baptized you with water. He's going to come around and he's going to re-baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is going to bring God's presence in a way that not even I can do to you. And then I like how the gospel text ends on this portion. And he gave other exhortations, and he proclaimed the good news to the people. After hearing a sermon like that, you would say, and the good news was? Where is the good news? The good news is not in what we do. The good news is to trust God for what God has done in Jesus Christ. The reality is, when taking inventory during this Advent season, before the Nativity, coming up in 8 days, is not so much what I have done for God any more than Lent is a time to prepare by obeying, therefore I'm worthy of Jesus. That is such heresy. To prepare is to yield to what God in Christ has already done for us. There's nothing insufficient with what he did, and I have to augment it, provide more. His was complete. The question is, do we trust it? All the way. Even through the bad times, and say, how could a good Lord let this happen to the people he loved? The answer is, evil is a mystery. Death is a mystery. Cancer is a mystery. Alzheimer's is a mystery. All things are mysteries. But we know, like Romans, Paul writing, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. So I'm convinced, Paul writes, nothing back, past, and future is going to separate us from God's love. It's here. It's to stay. And it's God's grace that prepares us for his second coming. For the sake of Jesus, and for the world, we bear that message to all people. Amen. Now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. And our hymn of the day, we sing verse 1 and verse 4, 5, 6. We skip 2 and 3. So 1, 4, and 6. O Lord, how shall I meet you?
Our worship continues with our prayers. Please rise.
As we await the coming of Christ, we pray and hope for the church, the world, and all creation. The choirs, hymn writers, musicians, and off-key singing, we give you thanks, Holy One. Fill us with your song of joy. Open us and proclaim your glory in our singing, speaking, and silence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the hurting places in creation, for seas and lands ravaged by natural disasters, for communities and creatures displaced by floods and droughts, grant peace through your presence and joy in your healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For peace to bring out in our hearts and our homes, for mercy and forgiveness to reign in every community, and hunger to end. Give us this joy now, Holy One, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For those who are oppressed, for soldiers and veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder and their families, for neighbors who have no access to medical care, for those who are ill and those who are mourned. Today we pray for Iris Cook, Alexander Roston, Elvira and Joe Popart, Rhonda Crosby, Susan Phillips, Donald Seltzer, Don Chiskowski, Jill Harper, Sharon DeSantis, Bob Shirky, Sharon Cunningham, Doug McClain, Jeff Parker's Uncle Tom, Daniel Baisley, Linda Leonard, Holly Ellen and her mother. We also pray for the family of Daniel Tubbs with his passing, and those serving our nation, maybe Pilot in Texas, Corey Milton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sillier, Jaron Sillier, Rob Nolan, those returning safely from those service at home and overseas, and those returning into our communities. Fill them with your peace and Lord in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For foster families, opening their homes for grandparents raising grandchildren, for single parents struggling to make ends meet, for expectant parents who now grieve, give strength and comfort, Holy Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
In thanksgiving for preachers and teachers who have guided us on the way, bring us with them to rejoice eternally in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we do bring to you these prayers and those that are unspoken. In the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
If you'll be seated, we receive our gifts to do the work of Jesus Christ. On the prayer list, I can give you a little bit of update. Talked to Doug McClain yesterday. Talked to him about every 2 or 3 days because he's changing his health. In the course of discussion with him yesterday, he indicates he's basically awake maybe 2 to 4 hours a day. He's sleeping all the rest of the time, which if you knew Doug, you know, that's not even near the scope of Doug's capability. As this cancer is taking hold in his body, which I think by all of our standards and from his, this was rapid. And in the course of things, he will start treatment this next week. That's like 4 weeks after the diagnosis. It is well planted within his body. He appreciates cards and phone calls that people have made to him. If he's not awake or Shirley's not available, he'll get back to people. He doesn't eat much. Prior to the diagnosis, he had already lost 60 pounds. I cannot imagine what Doug looks like. So in the course of things, this disease is doing what the disease does. And we pray certainly that God will intervene and intercept it in some way, use his power. But then again,
the passing of David yesterday, right? The funeral was yesterday, Lori. He was 25 years of age, died of cancer. There's not always an intervention in this life, but there is a promise of the next life. Things will be better than they happen in this life. So all people of faith have to hold on to that, that there's more to life than what we see. Far more. And it's going to be a glorious coming and a homecoming. As far as Iris Cook goes, she still remains up at Meadow Lodge. Nothing's changed. She is on a pattern. And Thursday at the Advent luncheons, I shared with them because people were coming up to me because Iris played at the Lenten luncheons and they wanted to know how she was doing. I gave them a pretty honest description because she gave me permission to be honest about her condition. So a lot of people were shocked because they knew her, the great instrumentalist, and how she could pick up things without a hymnal and start playing them. And the cutest thing always was when we did communion, she'd play with one hand the keyboard, the other hand receive the elements. And that's without a hymnal. She was good. But so is Lori. Lori was a gift of God to us. And we certainly, you won't see her for a few weeks. She's gonna be on vacation with grandkids. I think that's an oxymoron. Going down to Florida, to Disney, right?
Yes, we're going
to Disney. All right. And then we'll talk in January about her availability to pray for, to play for us at our Savior. So we wish her well and her husband, John, freedom from work and a time to enjoy the grandkids. This Thursday is the last of four Advent luncheons. We have averaged at those previous three approximately 50 at the first, 90 at the second. This last one, sponsored by the Methodists, we had about 80, 85. And we had our Savior host it this Thursday. It may be the same number, or getting closer to Christmas, it may be less. But we're hosting it with lunch. We hope you, as members of our Savior, will at least attend and help us as we are. They got it pretty well tackled, the planning of the meals. So that's being done by Tony and them and the crew with Judy. And so any support you can give, and join us for a wonderful time and meet your sisters and brothers of this community. Because Thursday was a joke. I just walked in the door. The gal from the Methodist Church who was sponsoring the luncheon, but not the preacher, who I am, she came up to me, "Oh, Pastor, you have such a good voice. Will you lead the singing? And we don't have an instrument." I thought, oh, we got a handicap here. I wish you would have been. But in the course of things, we got through it. Two ladies from the United Methodist Church, they also a cappella, and tried to get the group of 90 to sing along with us. So it was interesting. Chalk that down on your bucket list that didn't exist. And so it happened. But join us this week. The theme for the 4 weeks is Christ in Christmas. Okay. The free will offering that we take each of the Thursdays is going to Habitat for Humanity. Dick, the pastor of St. John's, shared with me that the first Thursday we took in something like $100. So I didn't hear this last week because Dick hadn't counted it yet. But the week in between, we took in $800. So God has blessed us and our outreach to this community through Habitat for Humanity. Last thing, this coming Friday, for the community and for our members, at 6 p.m., we will be at Grace Episcopal for Blue Christmas, Solus Christmas, whatever you want to call it. It's for anybody who's grieving anything, no matter how long it's been. We will gather as a community of churches, choosing and not favoring any one denomination, but realizing our humanity is humanity, and the faith is the faith, and God is Lord over all. So we'll be there at 6 p.m., and Kelly Pittman from First Presbyterian, Lydia from Grace Episcopal, and myself, we've been working on the service and invite it to anybody you know, whether they're in Port Huron, the Burbs, or wherever. Come join us this Friday, 6 p.m. Many other things. Read your bulletin. If you'll please rise, we sing the offertory on page 16. That we have, all that we are, all that we hope to be, we give to you, we give to you. We lift our voices, we lift our hands, we lift our lives to you. We are an offering, we are an offering.
God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Right, we give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again after supper, he took the cup of wine. And he gave it for all to drink after giving thanks. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. So with this bread, with this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God fills the hungry with good things, so taste and see that the Lord is good. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. During the distribution, we sing to God.
blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bless and keep you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Holy One, we give you thanks that in this bread and cup we have feasted again on your endless love. Let that love overflow more and more in our lives, that we may be messengers to prepare your way, harvesters of justice and righteousness, and bearers of your eternal world. Our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. May God direct your ways in peace, make you abound in love for one another and for all people, and strengthen your hearts until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Before the closing hymn, I want to kind of indicate during the Advent season, we sing a batch of hymns that are less familiar to us. Unless you do Advent every year, then you get more familiar with them. I introduce the second Sunday gradually some Christmas melodies and tunes. Today, because it's the joy candle, we sing an obviously Christmas hymn, Joy to the World. The fourth Sunday, we'll be singing more Christmas music. On the 23rd, next Sunday, we still have the regular worship schedule, 8:30 and 11. On Christmas Eve, we have service of Christmas candles, Eucharist, and hymns. So that's at 4 and 7 p.m. on Monday, December 24th. And the following week, I've been putting the last dabs to the 30th. I have a tradition for 30 years putting together a service of lessons and carols and keep trying to change it every year. Not that anybody remembers from year to year. But I put that service together as of yesterday afternoon. It's a beautiful combination. We'll be singing about 8 or 9 hymns. So that is December 30th. We call that Christmas, the first Sunday after Christmas 1. We sing the closing hymn, Joy to the World.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good answer.
Morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.